Hi, I'm Rick Anthony, and welcome to the Someone You Should Know podcast, the podcast that focuses on musicians, authors, and interesting people. We like to say we're making a difference one artist at a time. So sit back, have a cold one, and get ready to meet someone you should know. Today on the podcast, an author who knew exactly what she wanted to do since she was in the third grade. She attended college and law school, passed the bar twice, but her yearning to become an author was even greater. Will you please welcome my friend, Steph Ketsovi. How are you doing, Steph?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Steph joins us from New York City today, and she told me that she knew what she wanted to do in third grade. What was it in the third grade that got you on the career path to becoming an author?
Well, I think for me, it was I loved writing, and I was getting some really good feedback from my teachers that I was a natural at writing and creativity. And so for me, when you get positive feedback, you kind of want to keep the ball rolling on
Absolutely.
That. So
yeah.
Over the years, I'm a voracious reader, and I think that feeds into my passion for writing because you read someone else's good work, and I'm a little competitive, so I got jealous that someone wrote amazing works. So for me, it was trying to hone my craft and see if I could get to a point where the people that I admired were people that I could also emulate in my writing. And, you know, I just kind of stuck with it in the jobs that I took during school and after I graduated, and everything I had always worked towards was something that involved writing and my other sub-passion, which is research. Mm-hmm. And so it took a long and winding road, but here we are.
You're right, I'm pretty much on the same path. I love reading. I love reading everything. I love the research. Like when I'm doing this podcast show, I love doing the research, the backstory on all of my guests and such. A dumb question for you regarding books itself. Let's say the last 20 years or so, we've had Kindles and such like that. I still like a good old book in front of me rather than a digital book. I have a tendency to get lost or distracted too much with the digital books. But if I've got an actual book in front of me, I feel more comfortable. How about you?
You know, I kind of go both ways on that because I also love the look and the feel of a book. I think you do pay closer attention if it's a piece of paper. On the other hand, if you're going somewhere, just having a Kindle is so much easier. And then you could have like five books in your hand
Absolutely,
without even realizing it. So,
it's
you know,
much lighter too.
Yeah. It's good for travel, but it doesn't replace the actual physical copy of a book. I don't think you can ever replace that.
Going back to your childhood, who were some of the authors that you fell in love with?
I think Judy Blume, Beverly Cleary, Paula Danziger. I think, the authors that dealt with adolescent experiences in a humorous way with quirky main characters. I think that's the roadmap that I was really gravitating towards as a child. And it's now, as I said earlier, it's kind of what I'm trying to emulate in the works that I write. I think it just resonates so well when you have a character that's relatable, but not perfect, and makes you laugh with some of the silly things that happened. And then in the end of the book, there's always a good message that you can take away and apply to your own life.
Very good. Now, you graduated high school, you attended college, went to law school, you passed the bar twice, and you became an attorney. How long were you an attorney?
Well, it's a misnomer in a way, because I never actually practiced law. I went to law school knowing that I was not really interested in being the traditional type of attorney. So
okay.
I worked for a judge one summer, and I got a taste of what that world would be like, and realized not for me.
Not for you.
I'm a more of an introvert, so if I can sit behind a desk quietly, then I'm very happy. In working in a law firm or in a legal job of that nature, you have a lot of client facing work, and I never ever wanted to speak or appear before a judge in a business capacity or in any other capacity for that matter. So for me, that wasn't a path I wanted to explore. But truthfully, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I was in college and wanted some sort of advanced degree, but wasn't sure which direction to go. And law school seemed like it would provide the most flexibility. So I went with that.
Now, your law firm, was it tax law, criminal law, family law?
I worked in a consulting firm called Arthur Anderson, and then went on to Deloitte. So they did a little bit of everything. So I actually got to do legal related work while I was there, but never a full on practicing attorney in the traditional sense.
All right, very good. Now, when did you make the decision to follow your childhood dream versus what you were presently doing?
I think it sort of fell into my lap. I was working at Deloitte for a very senior executive who was an amazing person, an amazing mentor and role model to so many people. And in the accounting world, when you turn 62, I don't know if it's still the case now, but when you turn 62, you have forced retirement. And so the executive was about to retire and enjoy the next half of his life. And I had two young kids at home and was thinking, what am I going to do next when he leaves? And do I stay in the firm and find another person to work for and have to reprove myself and probably work a lot of hours beyond a lot of hours I was already working? And, right. and so the daunting thought of reproving myself and starting over in a way was the impetus that I needed to say, you know what, I have my kids at home. I want to be around to raise them. I want to be an active part of their lives. And gosh, I remember I wanted to be an author a long time ago, and maybe this is the right time to take that leap of faith and see what happens. And so I was fortunate that my husband was super supportive, and I announced my retirement soon after my boss announced his, and it only took about 6.5 years and my whole childhood to finish my first book.
Awesome. Very good. Now, that's a bold decision. You have doubts and obstacles, especially financially, but to have the support of a family, your children and your husband, that's a big thing to have them on your team.
It's a super superpower in a way to know that, you know, somebody's on your side no matter what happens. And, you know, for me, it was nobody was waiting for me to write this book. Nobody was knocking on the door saying, where's that first draft? And so I sort of had to come up with my own schedule and be my own motivator to be productive and to get things done and to get my book in a place where I was proud of what I was writing and hoping the world would also agree. And, you know, that's a pretty scary thought when, you know, it's just kind of you saying, here I am, here's my work. And writing is a very, very personal thing. So when you put your work out there for the world to hopefully enjoy, you invariably have that, you know, voice on your shoulder saying, what if it's not good enough? What if you're not a very good writer? And, you know, what if this is all just a really, really bad idea? But so far, so good. I'm really proud of the work I've done, and the feedback I've gotten has been overwhelmingly positive. And it's kind of great to see where I started, and now, you know, I got some awards for my first book, and so it's really wonderful to have that validation.
Yeah, it really is. When you get that validation, that is the most important thing. And you got to have your self validation, and you've also got to have the validation of your critics and your peers and such. That is just really, really cool. I'm very happy for you there, Steph. We're going to continue our interview with Steph Katsovi here on the Someone You Should Know podcast. But before we do, I'd like to say thanks so much for tuning in to the Someone You Should Know podcast. We're heard on the World Wide Web at SomeoneYouShouldKnowPodcast.com. There you'll find our recent news, our archive of past episodes, more than 160 of them at this point here. And we want to say thanks so much for checking them out. By the way, if you happen to be there for the very first time, please leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Now, thanks to Buzzsprout, the service that shares us to all the different streaming platforms. So very blessed to be heard in over 2,100 cities and 85 countries around the world. I want to salute a couple of those cities that we see popping up quite a bit. Mebane in North Carolina, Valparaiso, Indiana, New York, New York, and Warsaw, Poland. I do thank you so very much for tuning into the Some You Should Know podcast, heard wherever quality streaming audio is available. Thanks so much for listening. We are talking to Steph Katsovi, who is an author. Let's focus on Steph, the author. Now, how'd you come up with the idea of your first book?
Well, with any good book, I think it comes from a kernel of truth that you weave into something that's probably a little bit more interesting than the actual truth. But for me, my first book, called Hurricamp, is about a little girl who's about 10 and 3/4 years old, and she goes to sleepaway camp for the first time and realizes perhaps it wasn't the right fit for her to go away from home. And she struggled with a lot of issues of homesickness and her independence. And in the end, she found her inner strength and courage and ended up loving camp and making great friends and having wonderful memories. For me, though, that wasn't my experience. It was looking back what I wish I had done when I'd gone to sleepaway camp. I had the same start as my main character, but I ended up never liking camp and never going back. So this is sort of an attempt at me rewriting history the way I wish I had experienced it. And so I think, you know, for me, this was an eye-opening experience when I went away from home for the first time and didn't have that inner courage that I wish I had summoned. And so that was the impetus for writing that story. And, you know, I love that it has a really positive message at the end. For me, I wish that my ending had been a little different in real life, but now that I have the luxury of writing a book about it, I can change the ending as I see fit.
Absolutely. That's the nicest thing as far as, you know, you get to see it. It's like the individuals who go on stage and they really have a bad, they say they have a bad night because they blew a couple of lyrics here and there. It goes, you realize you're playing for an audience who's never heard you before.
Mm-hmm.
The thing would be for the book, as far as a person reading it for the first time is going to take their own part and their own life and build themselves with that character or try to mesh with that character. This character, tell us a little bit about the character itself.
Well, I would say that her name is Noodle, but her real name is Laura, but it's Noodle Newman, and she's probably the better version of me as a child and perhaps as an adult. But she's one of those characters that she's quirky, she's lovable, she's always making some choices that are questionable, but doing so with a good heart and in a humorous way. And, you know, it's a really fun character to write for, probably because it is so close to an idealized version of me. So I just really love putting her in situations where she's got to figure out what way she wants to turn, how she wants to handle challenges, and do it with grace and with humor and in an honest way that will resonate with kids and hopefully older readers as well. But it's really just a real treat to be able to have that opportunity to write for someone that you care about in a fictional way. But, you know, for me, it's about sending a message to myself sometimes of what I would like to do or what I should think I would want to do in a situation if it were the same.
Very good. Now, in your notes, you mentioned that you like creating relatable and imperfect characters that can inspire kids to be themselves. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, adolescence is such an important time. It's when people form their identities and when we understand who we are in the world and what's important to us. I think, you know, that's really where a child can grow and become the best self that they can be. And if you think about it, adolescence is only a short period of time in someone's life. It's like 0 to 18. And if you're lucky enough to live into your 70s or longer, that's more than 50 years as an adult. So the more that you can form, you know, a really true and honest idea of what kind of person you want to be in those early years, I think it has a positive impact on your trajectory for what kind of adult you're going to be, you know, for the next 50 or 60 years. And so the more I can play a role in having some impact on sharing positive values and the importance of confidence and kindness and to inspire kids to be their best selves, you know, that's hopefully what I can come out strong in my works.
All right. Very good. Now you've got two boys aged 13 and 11. Is that still?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
very good.
11 yeah. Just happened on Monday.
Oh, seriously. Okay. Very good. Do you write through their eyes?
Absolutely. I actually take their stories and turn them into my stories. As one of the other writing exercises that I have, I write a blog on a monthly basis. And so I have a blog from my main character, Noodle's point of view, and then a grown-up blog, which is kind of me looking back on my childhood. And invariably, my kids will share something about their day. And I say, oh, that's a good idea for my blog. And so then I will either put it in the blog and then I'll share it with them and they're like, hey, that was what happened to me. And it's actually hysterical because they often take offense, but not in a legitimate way. It's more like, that was my story. Mm-hmm. In other places, I've put their experiences from camp and other day-to-day activities into my book. So they will be seeking some share of the royalties, I'm sure.
Oh, very good. Very good. A question I have for you as far as, is there a specific time frame that your book was written as far as, is it written from you as a child when you grew up, or is it using today's technologies, incorporating your sons into this too, as far as that goes? Is there like an era of when this book actually takes place?
You know, it's an interesting question because when I write, I try to make it as timeless as possible. And I don't use as many references, if any, to technology because I sort of wanted to have that classic throwback feel. It's helpful because a lot of my books have taken place at sleepaway camp where you really can't have technology in most camps. And I make it a point to make sure that that's the case in this, the books that I write as well. But you know, it's interesting because I think technology plays such a huge part in our lives. But if I can find a way to creatively remove that, sort of gives me a little bit more freedom to just explore the personal human side versus the technologically aided side. So I would say I write my books with the intention that it's in another realm, perhaps, where we don't have a phone or an iPad or any other devices distracting us.
Now, you see, the children who are reading this of today, they're so like, what, these kids don't have an iPhone? They don't have an iPad? You know, they're not
on
the internet?
In a lot of camps, a lot of sleepaway camps, you can't have, well, you can sneak them in, I'm sure, but in a lot of sleepaway camps, the traditional ones, you can't have a phone or an iPad. You can have probably a music device, but it's a very simple, you know, I'm basing it on my experience and what my kids have experienced, but it's a simpler way to have, you know, your summer experience for sure. But yeah, it is interesting because so much of what you want to write about, you can incorporate, like she called me on my phone. And I try really hard to avoid that just so that I could keep that timeless classic feel.
Very good. You've mentioned the word books several times. So I'm guessing there is maybe a series of these books?
Yes, actually, it's a perfect time because my second book, Miss Communicamp, has just come out in April.
Awesome.
And yeah, I'm really excited. It kind of follows the similar themes of common adolescent challenges, and a lot of the same characters from Hurricamp appear in this work, and they go on different experiences and have a lot of more challenges, and always something happens where there's a some conflict and then ultimately resolution, and hopefully it engages the readers and they find wonderful nuggets of truth in their own lives to apply.
Awesome. I could see a series of books. They're kind of like, you know, Goosebumps or something like that.
Let's hope so.
Not be really cool. Now let's talk about where your books are available at. Now you've got a great website. Give us your website.
It's www.stephkatzobi.com, and you can find my books on just about every major retail store, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target. I think you could just do a Google search and hopefully it'll pop up.
But we'll include that in the show notes. But I got to tell you, this website that she's got is so well done. It's got merch and everything. Can you tell us a little bit about more your website?
Yeah, the website's actually, I love how it came out. It's got merchandise that, you know, if you're inclined to get a t-shirt, a hat, or a mug, I designed them. And as we talked about earlier, my background is in creative writing and law. So I'm actually really proud of how they came out. They took some really great snippets from different themes from the book, and it's on t-shirts and just fun sayings that I think it's great for kids and adults alike. And they have a range of sizes and colors. So for every color palette, there's probably something for you on the site. And then you can also find my blogs that I write on there and other updates such as different podcasts that I'm on, like this wonderful podcast.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Yeah, it's very good. We do this for everybody who, I mean, everyone asks me, says, you know, I don't know this person. You know, why should I care about it? I said, well, it's called Someone You Should Know. These are you should know. This author today, fabulous author. She's very, very talented in many things that she does. And that's why I thought it was necessary to have her on my show today. And let's talk a little bit about your boys. What do your boys think about mom's career so far?
I think, you know, they view me as a bit of a celebrity because I have a website and, you know, I go on podcasts like yours and they're like, wow, you must be famous. And I don't have the heart to tell them that, you know, there's a lot of people that know me, but I'm not like Taylor Swift, not at that level yet. But, you know, and my husband is not a football player. So there's very, very low likelihood of that level of celebrity coming. But no, it's great because, you know, they see me in mom mode a lot. But when they see a book or something related to my book come out, or, you know, my children's friends read my books, it's like, this is a big deal to them. So it's really rewarding to have that validation from their peers as well.
My kids have never known a time that I wasn't on the radio. And when they would be with their friends, it's like, your dad's on the radio. And it's like, yeah, what, your dad isn't, you know, it became such a part of the life. And
right.
It's just amazing. Once again, we invite everybody to check out the show notes to get a copy or a couple hundred copies of this book.
That sounds good.
The book is called Hurricamp. My guest today has been Steph Katzobi. And any final thoughts we should know about yourself, your characters, the book, or anything else?
I invite you to explore the Camp Hillside series, Horror Camp, Miss Communicamp, and then hopefully this summer I'll have time to write the third and maybe keep going from there. But yeah, I'm just really happy to have this amazing opportunity to get to speak to people like you, Rick, and to be introduced to a whole other world of people that I might not come into contact with. So awesome. Thank you for helping me become someone others should know.
Thanks so much, Steph. I appreciate you being on the show. And the thing is, I see this being so many books. And when the next one comes out, please let us know, Steph, so we can go ahead and put it in our news and let everyone know that they need to buy another 100 copies, okay?
That sounds like a super plan. Consider it done.
Steph, thanks again for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rick Anthony, thanking you again for listening to this episode of Someone You Should Know. Now, if you're an aspiring musician or an established musician that's looking for a little exposure, I invite you to drop us a line at someoneyoushouldknowpodcast@gmail.com. That's someoneyoushouldknowpodcast@gmail.com. Also, I invite you to tell a friend about the Someone You Should Know podcast. I thank you for tuning in this time, and I invite you to check us out next time on the Someone You Should Know podcast, because you never know who's going to show up. Until next time, remember, God loves you, and so do I.